It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Here's how you do not want your breasts described in a national publication. This is about Paula Abdul.
Oh, that could have been a contest. Somebody could have guessed.
Whose breasts are we describing now? Between Paula Abdul's breasts, it looks like a shotgun wound. And she has major drooping. Oh, good God almighty. All right, there's a whole lot of this here. There's a whole lot of really unpleasant. Whose breasts are described this way? Gravity always wins. Learn. Oh, God. How about this? She looks way too skin and bony and protrudy. I don't think protrudy is a word. How about this?
You sounds like something I'd say.
Seriously. Her breasts look caved and sunken. I'm sorry, caved in.
Is that Nicole
in,
Richie?
Caved in and sunken. No, it's Kelly Ripa.
Did you hear about how she got a boob job?
Who? No.
Nicole Richie.
Really? Oh, mm-hmm. Well, no, I told you that I saw a picture of her at the AMAs.
Well, supposedly that's why her and her stylist broke up. It was over a fight that Rachel Zoe thought that it was a bad idea for her to get breast implants.
Breaks up with a stylist.
It's Hollywood, baby.
All right. I'm sorry. Like, I'm not a player. I don't know about. So listen to that, all like a sophisticated.
I've never even been there. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
All right. She gotta get a food implant. That's what she gotta get.
And now from the Ministry of Truth,
a Rick implant.
Tim Riley.
Baby, what Brittany needs is a Rick implant. Hot.
Tim Riley, sorry.
Well, don't be surprised to see Nick Lachey spending more time in Tacoma from now on. He has bought one-third of an interest in a baseball franchise. It is the Tacoma Rainiers. They are a AAA ball club associated with the Seattle Mariners. He'll be involved in developing entertainment for families, including concerts and autograph sessions. He's there today.
AAA. That'd be...
Maybe even heard us driving up.
That'd be arson, armed robbery, and attempting to sell drugs to young people. That's the AAA in Tacoma.
An Oregon attorney wrongfully accused by the FBI in connection with the 2004 Madrid terror bombings will get a $2 million settlement from the U.S. government. Apparently, he's a Muslim fellow. He was arrested after a fingerprint match during an investigation turned out to be false. Governor Kulikowski, on a weekend visit to the Middle East to meet the Oregon troops, said deteriorating situations in Iraq, reinforces view that the United States needs an exit strategy. For instance, he noted on his last trip he was able to visit an ice cream parlor in downtown Baghdad. Not so this time. You can't go to downtown Baghdad anymore. There was no ice cream for me at all. Meanwhile, Lindsay Lohan taking shooting lessons ahead of her trip to war-torn Iraq. The movie actress, who's 20, will be visiting Iraq December 6th to entertain the U.S. troops deployed there and claims knowing how to handle a gun is essential. Correct me if I'm wrong.
To walking out on stage and showing your ass to a bunch of horny soldiers. There you go. I better learn a gun for this.
So she's all ready for that.
And did they ask her to... Do you suppose the military knows about this, or is this a thing she's just released to the press hoping that it'll become true?
I don't know.
This sounds like one of those stories where Lindsay Lohan is like, and I'm going to be... Here's what happened. I will guarantee you this. I will bet that somebody was interviewing Lindsay Lohan, and because she's such a desperately attention-seeking whore at this point, and didn't you have that photograph of her buying the gold handcuffs?
Yes.
Where she's walking out of some store, like,
it's
look.
Just so, I guess she spent $1,000 on them. They're like some gold diamond-encrusted handcuffs. It's so pathetic.
Some people.
And she's losing her mind. I will really be amazed if this girl... lasts another couple of years.
Oh, no, she's going to be dead.
She's already OD'd once. I mean, somebody's not going to be there next time.
It's funny you mentioned that, Sarah Dillon. I've got this story right here. Let me read this real briefly, and then we'll resume with the other stories. We had such a great segue here. I'll guarantee you, here's what happened with this business of Lindsay Lohan claiming she's going to Iraq. I bet she's being interviewed by somebody, and the guy's like, so, you're a drug-addled whore. Please to describe now for our audience how that's working out. And she's, I bet just to try to distract her, to try to make herself look more deep or to give herself more layers or facets, she's like, well, you know, I really think it's important, you know, that the war is just, we have to support the troops. I mean, no matter how, I'm actually going to Iraq. I had to learn how to handle a gun and, I'm taking a lot of papayas because that's the official state fruit in Iraq, and I support the troops, and it's just a bunch of drug-addled, like, stream-of-consciousness crap that somehow ends its way up in the press. Lindsay Lohan suffered a secret drug overdose, the Inquirer has learned exclusively. The out-of-control Mean Girl star took a deadly cocktail of cocaine, Vicodin, and Dilaudid, which I believe is for epileptics, and lost consciousness. A doctor raced to... Where did she overdose? Anybody? Tim?
The Chateau Marmont.
Yes, the Chateau Marmont.
Sorry, I haven't read the story. No, I thought we were guessing.
No, I mean, everybody knows. That's the thing. It's where today's stylish young star goes to overdose. On the morning of Sunday, November 12th, they found her unconscious in a drug-filled hotel room. blah, blah, blah. Friend called for help in a panic. Doctor arrived at 9:20. When the doctor searched Lindsay's room, he made a horrifying discovery. He found a stash of cocaine and a pile of prescription drugs. They also found Ambien, nitrous oxide, and other sleeping pills. There you go. Oh, a doctor was called because Lindsay also fell and scraped both of her arms while falling asleep from the drug overdose.
Squishy hotel room. Where was she falling?
In a room where the walls are decorated with razor blades and nails. Can I get a room that's just filled with pieces of glass jutting out from the wall at all angles, please? Thank you. All right, here we go. Here's Tim Riley.
Celine Dion canceling her next five performances of her new day show and her appearance at the Billboard Music Awards because of highly contagious respiratory infections. The show will not resume till December 28th. And, in April, it'll be her 500th show at the Las Vegas Strip Hotel Casino, Caesar's Palace.
Man, and
500 shows.
I figured out what it is because I don't know anybody who likes Celine Dion at all, but I figured out the deal of the here's the thing in Vegas. What she is banking on is guys just going to Vegas and getting really drunk, or their wives getting drunk, or just getting like, well, we're here, we might as well see Celine Dion. You're drunk, and it's an experience. It's a thing to do. She knows that nobody will really actually pay to see her in concert if they're in any sort of a sober state of mind. So she takes her... It's brilliant when you think about it. She's taking her act on the road to a place where people are intoxicated 24 hours a day. If you've got shoddy wares to peddle, that's what you do. You go to a place where people are blind drunk on cheap booze all day long. It's genius.
Meanwhile, Rosie O'Donnell wants Britney Spears to start wearing underpants and to stop hanging around with Paris Hilton and Lindsay Lohan. Spears has been photographed. Well, we know the story. O'Donnell said on The View today that Spears should move in with her partner Kelly, and their kids so she could have a stable family around her. Co-host Joe Bear says she doesn't think that's a good idea because she said Spears would be a bad influence on her kid. And Barbara Walters asks, how are you going to make her wear underwear?
Seriously. The funny thing is how about like a month ago we had all written Britney Spears off. And then a week ago we all loved her again. And then now all it takes is 2-3 days of showing your crotch everywhere.
Some droopy drawers.
Picking the public up.
Seriously.
All right, here's Tim Ryan.
A convicted sex offender posed as Bowser from the oldies music group Sha-na-na at a charity fundraiser for abused children.
That's how you get all the girls.
60-year-old Leonard Simmons pulled hundreds of motorcyclists and even signed autographs as J.C. Bowser at a November 5th toy drive in the Antelope Valley. He wasn't asked if he was Bowser, said a motorcyclist. He offered it up. He introduced himself that way and pulled out photos of out of his wallet. Asked names and started signing them. The Quartz Hill man has an enlisted phone number. Cannot be reached for comment. I didn't mean to misrepresent myself, said Simmons to the Antelope Valley Press.
Why would you suddenly decide on Bowser from Sha-na-na as the guy that you're going to impress to try to, the guy you're going to impersonate to try to impress people?
Oh, people do that all the time.
Bowser?
Well, not Bowser, but other dead movie stars. I was riding on a bus once, and someone introduced themselves as Wally Cox and pulled out his resume. Wally Cox had been on the Hollywood Squares and was the voice of Underdog, and he had died 20 years before that. So he had me convinced.
So the key, Tim Riley, you're saying now, is to impersonate someone who is either dead or who is a like second or third tier celebrity.
That's
or
correct.
Both.
That's correct.
Fantastic.
And who would doubt that, really? Because you don't have the information at the tips of your fingertips.
It is true. And you know what? I can't even conjure up in my head what Bowser from Sha-na-na looks like.
See?
All I just have a vague image of like a duck ass hairdo and the black leather jacket.
And of course, in Hollywood, you don't want to offend someone by saying, I don't know who you are.
So, I'm Bowser. Oh, of course, sir.
Please let me park your car. Come this way past the velvet rope.
All right, I'm going to begin impersonating somebody tomorrow. We should totally have Scotty J go out and claim that he's some, like, third-tier celebrity and see if he can get something free for it. Who could Scotty J claim to be? That is of the approximate age. Scotty's 40, but looks younger. He can play. They tell me I can still play high school.
Well, he couldn't be a reality show guy. He has to be an actor.
Well, it has to be somebody. Here's the thing. If Scotty is going to... You see, you don't even know who Sha Na Na is, probably. I think a little bit too before your time. They were a 50s revival group. They were a group that was... They played at Woodstock. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Sha Na Na played at Woodstock. They were a late 60s and then 70s act, and they did a lot of... They were like the Stray Cats of the 60s and 70s, where they sort of did this 50s throwback routine. It's got to be somebody that everybody sort of is familiar with, but that you can't actually conjure up like a really, truly accurate mental portrait of. So that there's nobody to compare them to. So there's got to be somebody like that we could send Scotty out to impersonate. You're not going to impersonate Brad Pitt. Quit trying to be funny.
Freddie Prinze.
Freddie Prinze. Hello, Dave. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick. It's Dave. Real quick, to get Bowser in your head, he's the guy that had the cut-off sleeve and would do kind of like the Egyptian pyramid walk, but with fists as opposed to the straight finger, saying Grease for Peace and Bow Wow, and he had the big mouth.
I suppose.
So I'm saying I have only... This is exactly how these stories...
Why would I just believe that explanation?
This is exactly how these stories happen. I have only your say-so to go on. And
it sounds credible.
And you sound credible. See, here's the thing.
I'm set a fire at Macy's.
I'm not saying that you're lying. But no, I'm really not. But I'm saying...
Why would I waste my time trying to look into this story to find out if it was true or not? Why can't I just say, yes, please autograph a picture for me?
Don't leer at my children, Bowser.
Should I just tell you he's my uncle or something?
Well, but how would I know? That's the perfect thing about this story. I can't believe we've spent like 10 minutes talking about not even a fake Bowser from a fake Bowser from a fake 50s group. That's the thing is there's a famous phrase, Michael Keaton says this in the paper, he says, a clipboard and a confident wave will get you into any building in the world. You are selling this description of Bowser so confidently that and as Tim pointed out, I have spent 0 seconds in my life filing away what Bowser from Sha Na Na looks like. So as a result, I have, like in the flow chart of my brain, I have no choice but to believe you. Your description of Bowser is now the one I will carry in my head.
That is the way I want it.
Mission accomplished, sir. All right.
Well done. Carry on.
Thank you. So that's what we need. We need some guy who's like a fifth-tier celebrity that is about 40 years of age, and we'll send Scotty out. Just have Scotty claim that he's that guy.
Could he be like a guest star on some older show? Or he could have played like the troublesome cousin or something.
Yeah, like some like Willie Ames, his best friend,
that's
and Charles
thinking.
In Charge.
Yeah,
really? Were
yeah.
you just thinking somebody with Willie Ames?
Yep.
He could be...
Well, eight is enough. There were eight of them. He could be anybody.
Totally. Or like some guy. He could be some guy from a commercial. Like some guy from a commercial that we all saw.
Oh,
he'll have
the bologna in his mouth.
Scotty would play that part well, I would imagine. Ha!
All right. He's the one who's saying, I wish I was an Oscar Mayer wiener.
Totally. That's we should totally try to pass. Okay.
And then we could ask him, do you want me to sing it again?
And we could get him to sign something. We should send him to Safeway and just have him set up a little table out front saying, I am the kid from the Oscar Mayer Wiener commercial. Can I now please to be autographing? We should totally call Safeway and we will pose as publicists. And I have Scottson J. something or other. He was the original Oscar Mayer Wiener kid. He's going to be in town. Would you be interested in having him signing autographs?
For one day only.
One day only of packets of... Part of packets of bologna in front of Safeway. I bet they would jump on that in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fantastic idea. Who's with me?
I am.
Sarah?
I am.
All right, Scotty. Here's what's going to be happening to you later on in the week.
Start calling Safeways. Until you find one who will accept it. You'll probably end up at the Battleground Safeway. Hollywood comes to Battleground.
Hollywood comes to Lombard Street. That's a great idea. I bet that we could totally... Because again, why would anybody call Safeway and pretend to be the Bologna kid if they were not?
Uh-huh.
Oh, you have to promise not to leer at any children. That's what this Bowser guy got in trouble for, Scotty. So we need your word that you won't do that. All right. Don't talk to small girls. Okay.
Hello.
That's what I'm saying. He can't because that's what ruined this Bowser guy. All right, hold on. Scotty, Bologna guy. Why is it pronounced baloney if it's spelled Bologna? Scotty at Safeway signs your Bologna.
Awesome.
It's fantastic.
Okay, we have to remember to do this. This can't be a thing that we mention and then never do. All right.
Now, we have to find a picture of a child posing with an Oscar Mayer product from the 70s.
And then like, print it out, and he could be like, no, see, this is me. Mm-hmm. And then...
then and now.
Headshot style.
Totally.
Oh, okay. Somebody please now, very rarely do I just flat out ask the audience to do our work for us.
But we're too busy.
We're too busy getting to all these things on the show. This is why we don't ever get anything. It's not that we're disorganized as such. It's that this is such a creative, fertile terrarium of a studio. Yes, look at it. Yesterday we came up with the glory hole, but for feet. Today we came up with Scotty J being the Oscar Mayer kid and hanging out of Safeway bothering people. It's because we're really coming up with just such genius ideas all the time that's why these other things get bumped back to the green room. All right, so here's what we need. We're just so busy. We need now someone, please, in the audience to be creating a side-by-side then and now. Using a picture of Scotty J now and a picture of the Oscar Mayer Bologna kid, creating a convincing then and now sort of press shot that he could show to someone, that he will then take to a Safeway and he will set up at a card table and offer to sign Bologna. Oh, he should say that he'll sing the song, but only for like $4.
$4.
That's a good round number. He'll what if he offered
cash only?
I think that actually makes it illegal. And come to think of it, I think that then becomes fraud and makes us felons. Now that I'm pondering it, we were never really going to do that.
How about if it's for children?
Susan Reynolds. Okay,
how about if we do it for African orphanages? The Angelina Jolie Fund.
Michael, you're on the Rick and Richard Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, it sounds like a good idea, but why do I have a feeling it's going to turn into a penis watch?
Wait, hold on. I didn't, hold on. I know there was going to be... All right. Yes. Thank you, Michael.
Yep.
One more thing, click. All right. Let's see. Well, people are already weighing in now, but see, I don't know. Who's Kenny P... Do you know who Kenny P. Landers is?
No.
No. No, he's apparently some guy from Eight Is Enough. No, but I think we hit upon something with the Oscar Mayer Bologna kid. All right. And that kid's probably dead anyway. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Let's, God, is it 2:30 already? Holy God Almighty. All right, well, let's do one more here. Sid, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
There was more than one baloney boy.
Isn't there always?
But, you know, they had different kids each year.
That's just at Mark Foley's house.
It wasn't one. You know, now, I thought he should be maybe... Mikey from the Life serial.
No. See, but that kid is a little too known, though. That's the thing. They did a television commercial a few years ago where they found Mikey, and they brought him back. They brought him back.
There was that whole Pop Rock.
Yeah, the Pop Rock legend. Pop Rocks killed Mikey.
Yeah, and you could have him appear at a store, but just talk real garbled and say it didn't kill him, but it scarred the inside of his mouth.
And he suffered a ruptured esophagus. It didn't kill him. It didn't kill him, but he did suffer lesions on his larynx.
It made him stronger.
What didn't kill him made him stronger and stammery. All right. Fantastic.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you. And just as a side note, and then we'll break here.
We can make him the Solo Flex guy from the 80s.
I know the Solo. I knew the Solo Flex guy.
Whatever became of him.
Sir, you are... No, the Soloflex guy went to, I met him, he went to Eastern Washington University at about the same time that I was graduating from school, and I had friends who had classes with that guy. Total a-hole from what I heard.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Wouldn't you?
People who went to high school with him in L.A.
Totally, wouldn't you be too? Look at me, I am an Adonis, fear me! You know who does the voices for the Soloflex commercial?
Oh,
our good friend Bob Brooks.
Yeah. Every commercial on cable.
Solo Flex. He does the voice. He does the commercial for like everything on Earth.
He's the voice of God. You don't get much better.
No, it's true.
There is no second choice. It's either Bob Brooks or nobody.
He's the man. Mm-hmm. He's the man with the golden throat. The hell was I going to say about Mikey? Oh, can I just ask you this question? And when I say you, I mean Tim Riley, everybody, the assembled masses yearning to breathe free.
Sure.
Let me ask you this about that goddamn Life cereal commercial. We all grew up at around the same time. Even Sarah, who some of the sections of her brain that would normally be wrinkly and full of pop culture knowledge in a regular person are smooth and unsullied by any such information. But even you know the Life cereal commercial, right? Where Mikey, yeah. They give Mikey the cereal?
No, not really.
Well, okay. There was,
I mean, I've heard of it.
All right, you've heard it. You're familiar with it. Every one of us, all of us over the age of, I would say, 30, saw the Mikey Life cereal commercial. And yet, Scotty is typing that he likes it. He really likes it. Scotty, please not to be finishing this phrase on the screen. Type, we don't have time to have you come in here. Finish this phrase from that commercial. Blah, 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 this cereal. Give it to Mikey. There you go. Yeah, it says give it to Mikey. How does that phrase go? Give it to Mikey, dot, dot, dot. How does that sentence end, Scotty? No.
I even know that one.
What is it?
He'll eat anything?
No, see, that's the thing.
Nope, they're right.
That's what I'm saying. You have illustrated the point, Sarah Dillon. And
well,
and I'm guilty of this, too. I'm not setting myself as being the only guy who knows this, because it took somebody else to point it out to me. We all listen now to this. Do we have some sort of God music? Because this is a thing that I'm going to note, and everybody then will suddenly know it. No. Okay. Everybody from our generation misremembers that commercial, and they all misremember it in exactly the same way. It's the weirdest goddamn thing. And here's the thing you have never thought about, but now you but I will say this and you'll know it's true. Every single person in this country over the age of 30 remembers the Life cereal commercial as saying, give it to Mikey, he'll eat anything. Even that's how I remember it. Except that's not how the commercial goes. The commercial goes, give it to Mikey, he doesn't like anything. Which is why then when he likes it, that's proof of how great Life cereal is. Because Mikey's an a-hole. He's a little bastard. He doesn't like anything. Screw Mikey. Mikey doesn't like anything. And yet, he likes the Life cereal. That's, it's just that good. Yet, all of us, even Sarah, who has probably never even seen the commercial, remembers it incorrectly the same way we all do. We all remember, and I know it seems like I'm getting disproportionately agitated about this, but it's fascinating to me. It is a fascinating thing that we all remember that commercial incorrectly in exactly the same way, which is bizarre when you consider the fact that in our heads we have this incorrect version of the commercial and it's the same for all of us. It's bizarre when you consider the fact that where did that come from, since none of us ever saw it that way.
Uh-huh.
None of us ever saw the commercial air that way.
It's the Zapruder film of cereal.
Or like everybody thinking they saw the first plane hit the World Trade Center, which they didn't. Everybody remembers that commercial in that way, even though it has never existed that way. But it's all in our heads that way. All of us. Oh, we're breaking now. I'm just saying, don't you think it's a little strange?
Yes, yes.
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 You guys realize you've been ranting and repeating the same thing for 6 minutes,
you
right?
You have that tone of voice like, I just want to get out of the room. Scotty's going to be the baloney kid. I'd like some sort of governmental investigation as to why we all remember it that way. I want the National Institutes of Health to look into this. I'm going to run on that platform. All right, hello. It's the Rick Emerson Show. I'll be back after this. Don't go anywhere. All right. Tomorrow, without fail, the Snoop Dogg song. Since I'll never get through today because I'm busy freaking out. I feel like I'm having a drug trip or something. I just can't get my head around this whole thing.
Yeah, you sound like it, too.
Rocking my world. Oh, why don't you ask your question? Sarah asked me the greatest question in the kitchen.
Well, now I don't know if it was real or not.
That's the best kind of question. I'll let you get the bagel out of your mouth.
Thank you.
All right.
I don't want to say it.
Have you listened to the embarrassing crap that comes out of my mouth here on a daily basis?
I think I remember this jingle from McDonald's when I was little. So it was Good Time, Great Taste, and then it said Hubba Hubba Hot Cakes.
Good Time, was it soft?
It was like the Good Times, Great Taste, Hubba Hubba Hot Cakes. of McDonald's.
That does sound stupid.
It does, doesn't it?
No, but is it real?
Thanks, Ash. I don't know.
Thanks, Ash. Thank you.
is that real or fake? Or you don't know?
I don't know. I thought it was real.
This whole show is weirding me out, man. I'm just going to let it be silent for a second. I need to get my head around a few things today.
Did you ride your bike today?
No. All right. We all got everything together now?
I think everyone else is fine.
I need to calm down a little bit. And then we'll get these phone calls.
Oh, holy night. Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth.
The Rick Emerson radio program. Just let this kind of go here.
Long lay the world.
Brian, you're on the Rick Emerson show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick, Sarah, and Tim. Howdy. So
hello.
A couple of things. I was letting you know that my uncle actually was the Cracker Jacks guy. Did you know that?
In the sailor suit with the dog?
No. The guy that would sit there on the park bench leering at the kids.
You might not want to say that about... My uncle was the guy who tried to touch the children at the park.
No, actually, I wish he was my uncle. He was my make-believe uncle. But no, the reason why I called was, the misunderstanding of the phrase from the Life cereal commercial?
Yeah.
Okay, here's where I think it came from. There was a comic, and I can't think of who it was, in the late 60s, who actually, did a parody of that commercial and actually said it the way that we all remember it, and that's what's fixed in our brain.
See, but we've seen... I'm not saying you're wrong about that, but it is strange. Sarah and I were talking to Sarah. Sarah tried to talk me down in the kitchen because I'm having some sort of a freak out about this. And
I am too.
I was pointing out, think about all the commercials, TV jingles, slogans that you remember in your head flawlessly.
Right.
And think of the millions of times you have seen that commercial. And how weird that, commercials are generally pretty effective. I give you a famous commercial, like, I like it so much I bought the company, or whatever. You generally remember those more or less correctly. Not word for word, but more or less correctly. That one we all remember wrong, as I noted, in exactly the same way. It's just kind of strange. And especially if you consider that we probably all saw that commercial more than we ever saw the comedian guy you're talking about.
Right, I don't know why that came to my mind, and I probably am totally on drugs and don't know it, but it seems like that's a logical thing that I'm coming up with, something that was on Laughing or one of those variety shows of the early 70s, I don't know.
It's freaking me out.
And I want you to know that I was, your show saved my life. I just want you to know that.
Okay, now you're just faking it now.
Well, yeah, and my uncle was not the Cracker Jacks guy, although Scotty could be like one of the kids that was in the Cracker Jacks commercial.
Oh, is the Rick Emerson show Save My Life, is that going to be the new best show ever? That's going to be the new catchphrase?
I'm calling it.
All right, thank you, sir.
All right, see you later.
Thanks. All right, let's see here. I think Kristen is saying that she sent me... Is one of these people Kristen? Oh, okay, here we go. Kristen, you're on the Rick Emerson show. Hello.
Yeah, go to YouTube. It's on there. And he does say he won't eat it. He hates everything.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what he says on the commercial. You're wrong.
No, but...
No, listen.
Let's get Mikey. Yeah. He won't eat it. He hates everything.
Right, but that's what I'm...
He won't eat it. He hates everything.
But that's what I'm saying. That's what the commercial says, but that's not how we all remember it, is my point.
Oh.
We all remember it
I remembered it. What were you listening to?
Sorry. Sorry, Miss Retains Information.
No, I thought you just said that he says he Good Lord, now I'm confused.
Sarah really is wishing she was dead at this point. She's wishing the Rick Emerson Show would take her life.
Well, because I was listening to it, and you said, the way you said it, it sounded wrong. I was like, no, he does say he won't eat it. He hates everything.
I'm having a subdural hematoma.
You need to just stop right now. Let's all do a little yoga.
Let's do yoga right now. More.
Well, you were just doing the deep breathing.
Hold on, let me just get a little, Sarah, can you pot this up a little bit? Let me just clean.
Well, I want to know who you're talking.
Hold on, let me just cleanse everybody's brain here for just a second. Hold on. There we go.
Oh, I'm so glad we got that taken care of.
I don't know what we're talking about anymore.
Okay, here's something to distract you. Did you know that they were just, I also sent you a link to, they were just doing a Sing the Jingle for Oscar Mayer.
Really?
So you could, yeah, look at your email. I just sent you the link. I think the contest is over, but they had a bunch of really bad little kids, like, trying to sing the Oscar Mayer jingle. It was terrible.
Fantastic. Did any of them
cry? We've been playing those commercials, I remember.
We played that one where it's like the...
the girls sing it. It's just all it's like about being a wiener.
Seriously, who wishes they were a wiener?
Well, that jingle was always very disturbing from day one as well.
I got a note, by the way, on the new My Chemical Romance CD, there's a song at the end that rips off wholesale the I Wish I Were an Oscar Mayer Wiener melody. I swear to God it's true. Well, on like a progressive, like goth rock concept record, and the last song on the album, I swear to God, it is like a direct steal from I Wish I Were an Oscar Mayer Wiener, which is really not what you think of an emo band stealing from melody-wise.
You'll have to play that.
I will. Maybe I'll play it tomorrow. All right. Thank you, Kristen.
Sure.
Oh, God almighty. Kyle, you're on the Rick Emerson Show, for the love of sweet Christ.
I like life. Hey, best show ever, really.
Thank you. I was telling somebody that in the hall, and they didn't believe me.
Hey, you want another misquote?
Sure.
Most misquoted line ever. Star Wars, Luke, I am your father. Not in the movie.
That's true, because he doesn't say that.
He says, I am your father, Luke.
Yeah, and then he says, search your feelings. You know it to be true. Yeah, that's what he says. Well, it's like everybody knows the beam me up, Scotty. That was like never really said. There's a whole bunch of those from movies where it's like the play it again, Sam, and that way that's a weird. I think this is the only the life one is the only commercial one I think. But you're right, that Luke, I am your father, and that is totally a thing, because that's how it was like parodied or depicted by like a billion hack like stand up comics or late night talk show hosts or something.
Yeah, Tommy Boy did it wrong. Come on.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
There you go. There's Kyle. Let's do another one. This is John. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
John.
Rick?
John?
No, this is John.
Okay. Hello.
Yeah. John, Rick, this is John. Hello?
Hi, John.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I'm trying to run a printing press and talk at the same time.
This is the best show ever. How can I help you, sir?
Well, two things. It probably wouldn't have any comedic value, but I'll tell you, Rick, if you ever ask your listeners to call in and say what the Rick Emerson Show is worth to them during the day, you would be really surprised.
How do you mean, when you say worth, what do you mean?
Well, it's so fun to listen to. I mean, and people with crappy jobs, I don't have a really crappy job, but I mean, people with crappy jobs especially love listening to Rick. I love listening to you. You make me laugh all the time.
Has the show saved your life?
My life brighter.
Has the show saved your life, sir?
Well, no.
Oh. And the streak is over.
The other thing. In Treasure of the Sierra Madre. I watched it for the first time a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
And nobody says we don't need no stinking badges.
That's true. That's a thing that the badges, we don't need no stinking badges. That's a thing that everybody thinks they heard in that movie, but it didn't. It came from Blazing Saddles, probably.
Yeah, I don't know where it came from.
Because in Blazing Saddles, there's that part where Hedley Lamarr has got everybody lined up and qualifications. And that guy's, robbery, on the robbery, rape and rape, or whatever that guy says. And then there's like, and then there's like the mariachi guys, and and Hedley Lamarr says, all right, you know, give them the badges, and they go, badges? We don't need no stinking badges. And that's probably the first place that I ever saw it.
Okay, well, that's the only place I've ever heard it.
All right, well, my friend, thank you for sharing your thought. And really, honestly, and I don't mean this in a cheesy Eddie Haskell kind of way. Sarah has heard me say this a billion times. The sales guys have heard me say this, whoever. The single, you know, we're not about the elections or politics or change making. I don't care about making the world a better place. I don't care really about making even this room a better place. The biggest compliment we can ever get is if somebody says, like, I got a bad job, and the show gets the job by faster. Best compliment ever. So thank you, sir.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
All right.
All right, there you go. That's John.
He said he liked his job.
Let me, we're all remembering the call wrong the same way!
Oh, my God. We've got a break.
Back after this. Get a hold of ourselves.
You keep saying this all, and it's you, Rick Emerson.
It's you.
It's the Rick Emerson radio program. We now enter.
I can't believe you're playing O Holy Night over the commercial.
No one noticed.
They noticed.
No one noticed that we were playing O Holy Night over the Metro Auto Wholesale jingle spot.
We made good.
The irony is they were probably people really listening closer. That's how I'll spin it. No. People were, their ears probably pricked up.
What's it like to be crazy?
Why are you looking at me? Quit looking at me! You never got an answer to your
I did. Aaron
double,
Geek
double,
in the
hubba
City
bubba.
Wrote me back.
Well, you can't ask. You can't answer off the air. We've got to milk all of that for grist.
And I guess Carly Simon sang it. I'm not crazy.
What was the actual drink? It was Hubba Bubba.
I thought it was Hubba Hubba Hot Cake.
Really? Well, why would Carly Simon sing the phrase Hubba Bubba Hot
Cake? Okay, he said the lyrics follow. Hear the sizzle on the griddle as you drop that batter in the pat of hot butter, round and round, piping hot, like as not. But you got his hot cakes, Hubba Hubba Hot Cakes.
Is she talking about some kind of interracial sex?
I don't know.
Okay. Let's see. Chris. Hello, sir.
Hey, I've got your definitive answer on the badges.
Okay. The badges, stinking badges. All right.
It's from The Treasure of Sierra Madre with Humphrey Bogart.
Okay, but what is the actual line?
It's badges, because they're going to look for some treasure, and they run across these banditos who claim to be police, and they ask to see their badges, and then they go, badges? Badges? We don't need those stinking badges.
Oh, so it actually is in that movie that way.
That's where Mel Brooks takes it from that, and then later Weird Al uses it for
UAV. Badgers.
For badgers.
Yeah.
Don't even stinking badgers.
Ah, that's a good joke. That movie holds up. Shame about its association with Michael Richards at this point in time, but that's a movie that holds up. UHF.
That's funny. It's a great movie.
I wonder if, you know, that's an out of tell Court and Fatboy. If they haven't done UHF yet for their midnight movie, they ought to do that. All right.
They need to do it for the drunken film commentary.
That's a great drunken film commentary that Aaron and Scott Daly got to be doing. All right. Thank you, my friend.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right, there you go. That's Chris. From one Chris to another, let's with the...
A postman is the person in your neighborhood.
Welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Our good friend, Mailman Chris. Hello, sir.
How are you? And best show ever.
It really is. I can tell because I'm fatigued.
You know what? You never saw my comment, and my comment was, I feel like today is going to be the best show ever.
What do you mean?
When I wrote you with the comments on MySpace today.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Let me go look right now.
And I think I was right.
Somebody was correct.
I got to say thank you, Sarah, for the link on your blog. I checked that link last night, and boy, you're right. I'll never look at grilled cheese sandwiches the same way.
That's what I'm saying. The secret ingredient is crazy. I'm looking right here. Oh, yeah. Here's Sarah's comment. It's going to be the best show ever. Yeah. Oh, it's true. All right.
Well, you only teased four things today. You were playing it low key, I guess.
Yeah.
And I've been on the phone today with the doctors and the school supervisors. And
it's another fun day at the mailman household, isn't it?
You know, and it's great that I'm on at the end of the show because we don't have time to get into all that.
Was there
unpleasantness?
Yeah, there was some unpleasantness. So it's
unpleasantness directed itself or others?
Unpleasantness threatened and suspended for.
Oh, was
man.
That a, was that a whole lot of like I'm keeping a list in my locker under my gun? Okay.
So anyway, I've been on the phone a couple times today. So
yeah,
I did not hear you talk about Des Moines.
We did. We did talk about Des Moines.
Okay, and then
I don't remember.
Apparently,
that.
It's full of Bulgarian whores.
Oh, I do remember that.
And there's a strip club called like the Golden Gulch or some crap where they go full topless and you can bring your own booze.
And other than Britney Spears and the Oh Holy Night guy, what's worse than nails on a chalkboard?
Well, the Oh Holy Night guy, clearly.
Okay, well. Then you
Never
got
lie.
As far as you know.
Well, you got to everything and you're at 60.
Yeah! In your face, bitches! That's what I'm talking about. That's now, how the Rick Emerson Show rolls.
Two things. I want to call back. Yesterday, the idea of us getting the pictures taken.
Anchorman style.
Aaron and I sent a couple back and forth. Chris jumped in on it, too. You know, Aaron could be the swarthy Spanish broadcasting team.
Totally.
Boy, stop! And I guess I could be like the Tim Robbins NPR guy. Who knows? And then, of course, you could also add the tagline, with George from Wilsonville on the fives.
Yes. It's true.
And then today... I didn't mention this yesterday. Clerks 2 on DVD. Buy it.
I saw that actually. I saw that the banner ad everywhere that Clerks 2 is at. So I gotta go to CD Game Exchange to pick that up because.
And the first trailer, the very first trailer on the DVD, is the full-on trailer for the movie Fanboys.
Oh, which I have only seen a teaser for that. I've never seen the full trailer.
The full trailer is freaking awesome. I can't wait.
Awesome.
I think you can go to fanboys-movie.com.
Excellent.
So, it's worth it. Just go buy the Clerks DVD so you can see the trailer.
All right. I will do it, my friend. And I'm at where? 60 for today?
60.
That's fantastic. I rule. All right. Mailman Chris, thank you. And will we be speaking to you tomorrow at 3?
Yes.
All right. Best of luck with the kid and the thwarting.
He's back to school tomorrow, so he's their problem.
That's good. He's the problem of the school and those who forget to come with flak jackets. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Enjoy the rest of your day to whatever extent that's possible.
Will do.
All right, there you go. That's Mailman Chris.
Poor Chris.
Yeah, boy, that's... At least he seems zen with the whole thing, though. That's
He does. He has, like, this cold calm now.
You know what it is? He sounds like he's accepted it. He's accepted the fact that someday his conversations with the kid are just going to be a whole lot of... You know, mouthing at each other through the glass after the automatic timer at the prison cuts off the phone.
How you feeling?
A little crazy. The Mean Girl Scout Troop Lady takes Beverly... What?
Wait on the show.
Patches, we don't need no stinking patches.
Oh, I love
Troop
her.
Beverly
That's
Hills.
Patches, we don't need no stinking
We're going
patches.
Out strong today. All right, the Rick Emerson Show, produced today, every day, by the lovely, talented, and very tolerant Sarah X. Dillon for AM970 Solid State Radio. Tim Riley is the new director. The news director. Scotty J. is the PA, manager of the Rick Emerson Office. Dave's in. Like us next. Donna Mike at 7. John and Jeff at 11. We'll see you tomorrow at 11 a.m., my friend. Till then, don't let the bastards drive you down. Thank you for listening. Be safe. See y'all then. Bye.
This show, copyright 2006, Rick Emerson Show.